Good morning. This is Bob Bragg. Welcome to the May 30th edition of Farm News and Views. Last week, the drought monitor map indicated that there's a significant improvement with drought conditions in the western U.S. compared to the beginning of 2023. Arizona is free of drought conditions, while Utah and Colorado have some areas of moderate drought, a small area of northeast New Mexico, and a sliver of southeast Colorado is affected by severe drought that's impacting the High Plains region of Kansas, Nebraska, Texas, and Oklahoma. In states east of the Mississippi River, drought conditions aren't affecting agricultural producers. Over the past couple of years, farmland prices rocketed to historically high levels, but there are indications that land prices are beginning to moderate. The latest Creighton University Rural Main Street Index reports that while bankers estimate that farmland values in their area rose 4.3% over the past year, they believe that the momentum stops there. Bankers expect farmland prices in their area to remain stagnant, forecasting 0% growth over the next 12 months. Apparently, a number of factors are driving this slowdown, including higher interest rates, fewer non-farm investors, and lower commodity prices. Another indicator of this slowdown is that at a number of land auctions in the Midwest, bids didn't meet the reserve set by the seller. Probably as a result of increased land sale prices, the USDA reported that farm sector debt tied to real estate is expected to come in at a record high, $375.9 billion in 2023. That would be a significant increase over the 10-year average. The ERS Farm Income and Wealth Statistics Report shows that 10-year average for farm real estate debt, that's 2012 to 2021, is at $282.6 billion. It's been climbing steadily over the last 2 years. However, non-real estate debt has been declining. The 10-year average from 2012 to 2021 is $177.2 billion. And the average debt in 2023 is forecast to be below that average. Cattle producers are optimistic that the next couple of years will offer greater opportunities for profitability than they've had over the past 3 years. After facing slaughter facilities that were closed down by a pandemic and drought affecting pastures, ranges, and forage production, profits on commercial cow-calf operations were tough to find. Now, with drought conditions receding and projected lower cost of feed as hay stocks are built up, cattle producers are expecting to begin to build back their herds by retaining more calves for breeding, which will result in fewer numbers of calves going into the feedlots. Over the past couple of years, heifers that would have normally been retained for breeding have been sent to feeding operations because producers didn't have hay and pasture resources to maintain them, which in turn created higher supplies of feeder cattle and lower prices for all 500 to 600-pound calves. So building back breeding herds is expected to provide some equilibrium over the next couple of years to the supply and demand of feeder cattle. Unlike farmers who can shift production of crops from, say, corn to soybeans just before putting seeds into the ground, cattle producers must make decisions about retaining heifers for breeding a year or more in advance of increasing or decreasing the number of cattle in their herds. Author Henri Alain Foyer wrote, "Life on a farm is a school of patience. You can't hurry your crops or make an ox in 2 days." Until next week, I'm Bob Bragg.